You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So the Zero Carbon Bill has recently been opened for public consultation. The goal is to reduce carbon emissions to zero by 2050. Greenpeace responded to one of the proposals by criticizing it for excluding agriculture from these targets. I spoke with Greenpeace campaigner Kate Simcock to hear about why this could be problematic.
So the Zero Carbon Act was an election promise that the Greens and Labor came in to government on, and the consultation document has just been launched today, so it's consulting about what that act should look like for reducing our emissions to net zero by 2050. One of the things it is consulting on is what net zero means in terms of a target, and so something that raised flags for us is that one of the options presented doesn't include half of New Zealand's emissions from the agricultural industry.
For Greenpeace, why is this such an important issue to target?
Climate change is an existential threat. It's the greatest challenge that humanity is facing at the moment. We have responsibilities to meet that challenge, and we have said to the world now that we will be leaders on this issue. It is really now the time to live up to those promises. What that means is we need to legislate a target of zero emissions across all sectors of society, across all emissions, by 2050 at the very latest. It needs to be that ambitious, and anything less than that, especially anything that looks at leaving out half of New Zealand's climate pollution from the dairy industry, is not taking collective responsibility on climate change, and it's not showing leadership.
So you're hoping government sets a target for that. How would that look logistically in terms of actually getting the agricultural industry to reduce to zero?
So the government has put out this consultation document today that it's encouraging all New Zealanders to have a say on. In terms of the target, there are three options that it presents, and it's inviting New Zealanders to have their say on which of those things is most appropriate. One excludes agriculture and only looks at carbon dioxide emissions, but the most ambitious looks at all emissions across all of New Zealand. So we're strongly encouraging everyone to have their say, to jump on the internet and look up Zero Carbon Act and be part of that consultation and try and make this the most ambitious target that we can.
Why do you think it is that government has avoided in this one proposition agriculture? What do you think the influences are there?
The government, I think, is trying to make sure everyone has a say, and it's trying to get buy-in from a wide cross-section of New Zealand. So it's presenting a range of options, but some of those are good enough to meet our Paris commitments and to solve climate change faster than others. So I honestly, it comes as a surprise to me that there would be an option at all that doesn't include half of New Zealand's emissions, but there is, and I can only speculate as to why that might be.
A little while ago, there was a backlash from the agriculture industry when it came to a water tax, small farmers believing that it was unrealistic to be taxing them because they don't make much of a profit. Do you think that small community is part of the reason why they may have excluded that?
Well, I think this is different, actually. I think this is a long-term proposal, right? It's setting a target for 2050, which is more than 30 years away. We're setting a pathway for 30 years away, which means that we've got a long time to get there. It doesn't happen overnight. It is very much a transition, and it means that we take steps now, but we take them because we realise it's a big problem and we need to be in a different place in the future.
What do you think those small steps would be for that kind of industry?
Well, that will be the job of the Climate Commission to work out what the transition looks like. Right now it wants some big picture feedback on the Climate Commission, how that works, what the targets should be, and how the piece of legislation should look. So we're encouraging everyone to jump in and be part of that process.
Any other comments you want to make, Kate?
Yeah, I'll just say if we were competing at the Olympics, we would be aiming for gold, not bronze. So we need to do the same in the race to save the planet. We can't be making a half-hearted attempt to solve this problem. We really need to be all in it.
I then wanted to hear from someone within the agriculture industry on their thoughts of the criticism. I spoke with the climate change spokesperson for the Federated Farmers of New Zealand, Andrew Haggard. I asked for a stance on the zero carbon bill.
It recognises the difference between the long-lived and short-lived gases. The methane does act in a different manner to carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and that it's a fact, you just have to stabilise that methane as opposed to carbon dioxide, which you've got to reduce to zero. So overall, we're happy that that's in the mix and that's going to be considered. Obviously, we'd prefer to see that that is recognised in whatever the final act looks like, that there is a difference with methane.
That's not something I've heard commonly within the dialogue. So how is methane different to...
Well, methane's a short-lived gas, so it's got a half-life of roughly 12 years, whereas carbon dioxide's basically 700 years longer, I think. So what happens, my cow eats some grass, has a burp, 12 years later, that methane breaks down, goes into carbon, which grows the next blade of grass, cow's granddaughter probably eats it, burps again, and that thing's just a constant cycle. So good analogy, whereas carbon dioxide accumulates in the atmosphere and it just keeps on accumulating, whereas if you're not changing the number of cows, if your livestock's stable, that composition of methane in the atmosphere, because it's not accumulating, it doesn't change. Yeah, if you're not changing, then you're having no more warming impact than what you were originally. Well, you're not going to lead to any increase in temperature. So a good analogy would be, pretend your climate's a bathtub. The water pouring in is the methane and the drain plug's open. So, if you're flowing in and out at the same rate, that bathtub's never going to overflow. Whereas with carbon dioxide, even if you reduce the flow in to a trickle, that plug's still in the bottom, so eventually it's going to overflow. So it's sort of a simple analogy sort of between the two.
Mm. Currently, is the agriculture industry doing anything to reduce emissions?
If you look at methane, it's only increased since 1990 by 4-5% over where we were in 1990. So we've been pretty static on the methane front. Nitrous dioxide has increased, and so probably a lot of the work that's taking place to actually reduce nitrogen runoff into waterways will also be reducing the nitrous oxide going into the atmosphere as well. So there should be a sort of two-prong approach to it. And the key thing here is if you look at a sort of emissions footprint per kilo of product produced from New Zealand's primary industry, we're amongst the best in the world in terms of that efficient that footprint. If not in some products, we are the world's best. So, a lot of people say, oh, we need to be world leading. Well, I'd argue we already are world leading, and we're already setting the bar. We're already showing other countries how to do it. I think, it sort of gets overlooked a hell of a lot of the time.
So the statistics on it currently are 49% of our carbon emissions come from agriculture, which we're finding a lot in the dialogue at the minute.
Yeah.
What's kind of the argument against that other than methane?
I think the key thing here to recognise is sometimes I think that pie graph of, 49% of the gases are emitted from agriculture and so many, it sort of loses a bit of perspective. If we were to replace all our hydro power stations with coal-fired power stations, that agricultural percentage would be 10 to 20% like it is in other countries where they don't have the abundance of renewable energy like we do. Now, I think sometimes that percentage argument's irrelevant, and you actually got to look at what's actually happening. What are the actual amounts? And like I said, our actual agricultural, so for methane, it's actually only gone up 4 to 5% since 1990. There's been a bigger increase in nitrous oxide, which we need to come up with solutions for. But then if you look at transport, that's gone up 82%, and that's you know, effectively the extra cars we got on the road being parked up on the Southern Motorway in Auckland for however long.
Why do you think it is that government has provided an option for the public to exclude agriculture from this carbon emission target?
Well, I wouldn't say we're being excluded. You know, even if you look at that first option where they're just looking at the carbon only, it is recognising that, you know, carbon is the key gas. Carbon dioxide, sorry, is the key gas to control. Now, in farming, we use energy, we use diesel, we use petrol in our vehicles. So we're already involved, as much as anyone else is, in that regard for dealing with CO2. So in terms of CO2, we're absolutely no different. We're being treated no differently than anyone else in New Zealand. The question is, do we recognise the biological gases differently, and in particular the short versus long-lived gases?
I'm kind of curious, do you find the agriculture industry is being threatened by people who might not understand it?
There's a risk there where people don't quite understand how things work, the nuances, how things are interlinked. They come up with simplistic solutions that sound great in the slogan, and actually in reality, no, that's not going to work. I mean, you know, if we were to reduce, like, let's say New Zealand feeds about 40 million people, you know, although, you know, our products probably go across 100 million people, but if you pulled them all together and calorie-wise and said, right, effectively there's 40 million people that have been fed by New Zealand. If we were to reduce our agricultural production by 20%, you know, and reduce our emissions by 20%, Greenpeace would probably say, this is fantastic, this is wonderful, awesome. However, those 8 million people aren't going to suddenly decide, oh, we'll just go hungry and die. They're going to want food. And so there'll be an increased demand for food, which will be a price signal, which some other country that's not as efficient as New Zealand and not doing any of this stuff, they'll take that price signal, they'll produce more food at a higher footprint than New Zealand. And so globally, we've actually gone backwards. And so that's my problem with the likes of Greenpeace. They look at things in a very simplistic, local little bubble. They're not thinking about the global challenges here and the global response that needs to actually happen.
Can anyone explain why the modern day whales are so big?
The Wire.
Now, reminder, this bill is open for public consultation, so if you've got thoughts about it, you can jump onto the interwebs to contribute to the conversation, help them end climate change and all that good stuff.
The interwebs, eh?
Interwebs, sounds you fun. Know.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.